From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning is found in Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Faith is full of inventions. The house was full. A crowd blocked up the door. But faith found a way of getting at the Lord and placing the palsied man before him. If we cannot get sinners where Jesus is by ordinary methods, we must use extraordinary ones. It seems, according to Luke 5:19, that a tiling had to be removed, which would make dust and cause a measure of danger to those below. But where the case is very urgent, we must not mind running some risks and shocking some proprieties. Jesus was there to heal, and therefore, fall what might, faith ventured all, so that her poor paralyzed charge might have his sins forgiven. Oh, that we had more daring faith among us! Cannot we, beloved, seek it this morning for ourselves and for our fellow workers? And will we not try today to perform some gallant act for the love of souls and the glory of the Lord? The world is constantly inventing. Genius serves all the purposes of human desire. Cannot faith invent too, and reach by some new means the outcasts who lie perishing around us? It was the presence of Jesus which excited victorious courage in the forebearers of the palsied man. Is not the Lord among us now? Have we seen His face for ourselves this morning? Have we felt His healing power in our own souls? If so, then through door, through window, or through roof, let us, breaking through all impediments, labor to bring poor souls to Jesus. All means are good and decorous when faith and love are truly set on winning souls. If hunger for bread can break through stone walls, surely hunger for souls is not to be hindered in its efforts. O Lord, make us quick to suggest methods of reaching Thy poor, sin-sick ones, and bold to carry them out at all hazards.
Please.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior. The text is found in chapter 14 and a portion of chapter 15. The focus is on the issue of Christian liberty and the questions of how those who are strong in their faith are to behave toward the weaker brethren. In the matter of so-called indifferent things, the mature believer must be careful that he does not upset the spiritual stability of a weaker brother. In the final analysis, believers must seek to live selfless, Christ-like lives governed by love for others. Now, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior.
In verse 20, the first part of the verse, we ought to have the principle of strengthening, not destroying, the work that God has done in another person's life. Remembering, as verse 20, the second part makes clear, in the words of Martin Luther, it's always dangerous, dangerous to go against your conscience. You may look at a man's conscience and say, that conscience is weak. Weak or not, it's his conscience. And it is always dangerous to violate your conscience. In a word, verses 21 to 23 make it clear that a Christian, on whatever side of the divide, must live by faith. That's what it's all about. I think I should say something about that verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. It sounds a very harsh statement. And as we would understand it today, it's not only harsh, it's totally unscriptural. That's not what Paul was saying, and it's not even what our translators intended. The word damned in those days in 1611 simply meant judged or condemned. You had to work out the level of judgment and the level of condemnation. Here it's the condemnation of his own conscience. He that doubteth, I really don't think that's the translation at all. This is speaking of a man who is making distinctions among meats. It's the weak believer. He says if his conscience is hurt and you prevail on him to eat, his conscience condemns him because he's not eating by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a mighty big statement. And it goes to the weak believer and the strong believer. You're to live by faith. What has Paul been saying from Romans 12:1 right through? What have I been trying to emphasize these Sabbath evenings? Once we grasp the gospel, that gospel has to govern how we live. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now these are the matters of indifference. I said that there was a second point, and I'm not going to forget my time tonight. But the matters of importance in chapter 15 actually just underline and emphasize what Paul has already been saying. We read 13 verses, and I know there are statements in there that demand or call for close examination, but I'm trying to follow the argument. I'm going to overlook those statements as statements and focus on the argument. Here Paul climaxes his whole argument, and what is he doing? He's calling on the people of God to display such a unity as their common calling in Christ demands. In Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. He called them both to himself. The gospel applies to both of them. And whatever their differences arising from their views of the ceremonial law, they share a common faith. They're subject to a common authority, namely the Scriptures. And they rejoice in a common hope. So therefore, what is really of importance in the church? Follow me carefully. Here's what Paul deals with as matters of importance. 15 verses 1 and 2, live selfless lives. What we're told here, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. I have said it 100 times, I'll say it again. The greatest enemy of your spiritual life, the greatest enemy of the Church of Christ, is self. Live selfless lives. Verses 3 and 4. Live Christ-like lives. As Peter says, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Christ pleased not himself. That's the big argument. Am I a Christian? Then I can't be living for myself. Haven't we already seen in the earlier part of chapter 14, we are to live with conviction and devotion to God. We can't be living to ourselves. And therefore we have to live Christ-like lives. In chapter 15, verses 5 through 7, he goes further and says you have to live God-glorifying lives. Look at verse 6. With one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the implication? A church can't do that if it's riven by bitter disunity. Therefore, receive one another as Christ received you to the glory of God. In other words, and this is something that I don't need to go into and prove in detail because we have been over this ground many times. But you know, if you won't talk to your brethren, you can't talk to God. Do you realize that? This brings it right down to where we are. Peter, in chapter 3 of his first epistle, deals with this in the home. Now, I'm going to really get close to you. You wives, this is Mother's Day, so I'll take you first. If you have a bitter tongue and a bitter spirit, you can't talk to your own husband and talk to your own children with any kind of grace. I don't care how freely your words flow. You can't talk to God.
You can't pray.
You husbands who are thoughtless and careless of your wives. And your children. Some of you come in from work. You might grunt, you might not. You'll eat. You'll maybe sit down. You'll watch television and you'll go to bed and you'll get up and you'll go the next day. And you come in and wonder what's happening to your wife and your family. Well, you may wonder. You can't talk to God. Do you understand this? We come into the church with this division, and bitterness, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking. You could have the Apostle Paul in this pulpit. As long as that situation obtains, you can't glorify God. Live selfless lives, Christ-like lives, God-glorifying lives. Verses 8 to 12 really spell it out. Live worthy of your calling. There's a beautiful way of putting this. I think it was Bishop Handley Mole put it this way. The Gentiles in Rome had to remember this, that Christ was of the Jews, but the Jews had to remember that Christ was of the Jews for the Gentiles. It was to bring in the whole world. So there should be patience. There should be an understanding. And when I looked at this, I thought, you know, that's the only Christian way of living. The only way a Christian can show the work of God and the gospel at work in their lives, the only way a Christian can do that is to live worthy of their calling. With patience, receiving one another. Don't be cutting them off because you don't go down the line with all their opinions. Are you going to destroy one for whom Christ died because of an opinion? Are you going to excise from the church one whom Christ has received to the glory of God because of an opinion? No, no. Your calling in Christ demands that with patience, with kindness, with the love of God, we receive one another. So Paul ends with a prayer. And what a prayer. I would make it my prayer for us tonight. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Stresses the necessity of faith, praises our enjoyment of the gospel graces to believing, and now shows that this faith, in its abundant fullness of peace and joy, leads us to a certain hope for this world and the next. What is it that he's calling? He's calling, let us live in the light. Not with a skewed perspective. Not turning molehills into mountains. Not standing up like idiots, demanding our liberties, but living selflessly, Christ-like lives, enjoying our liberties, but equally enjoying the limitations that our liberties have placed upon them by our obligations to the good of our brethren. It's a very big subject. The Christian's liberty and his limitations in matters of belief and behavior. And it all comes full circle. You live out the gospel. So simple to say, so difficult to get to our hearts. You see, I'm not different from anybody else here. We all like to live according to our prejudices, according to what pleases us best. My opinions are obviously the best opinions because they're mine. I don't hold an opinion if I honestly think it's wrong. As Mike Barrett told a fellow in Calgary when he asked him this, "You think you're always right?" Sure I do. I don't get up and preach something because I think it's wrong. It's not good enough to live by your prejudice or by your opinion. Live by the gospel. Live for God. Live for His people. Live for eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ pleased not Himself. He did not live for His own comfort. Thank God, down from His glory Christ came, all the way to the cross of shame. We bless Thee, our Father, that out of pure love for guilty sinners such as we are, Christ died an atoning death. And, O Lord, we would long to build up the body of Christ. We would long, O Lord, to help, to stabilize, to encourage those for whom Christ died. We pray that Thou wilt teach us the lessons of Thy word. Save us, O God, we pray, from the folly of selfishness. Save us, O Lord, we pray, from the folly of exalting our personal prejudice, preference, or opinion to the level of divine commandment. O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt graciously let this church live out that wondrous statement of Paul's, that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let us know that righteousness of public testimony. Let us know that peace of internal amity. And, oh God, we pray that we will know that joy of spiritual happiness. Oh, bless us, we pray. We commend this all to Thee and ask Thee, Lord, to make this church, as a living, functioning, local body of Christ, make this church, O God, to be a church that lives out the gospel that we profess to believe. Hear our prayer.
Grant that Thy grace, mercy, and peace will be our abiding portion, both tonight and evermore. We pray, giving Thee our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.